Good singing this morning. Appreciate all the singing. Appreciate the choir. Appreciate Brother Chris. Brother Richard, it's good to see you sing again. That was good, brother. Enjoyed that. You got your Bible. I'm going to read in the book of Romans. I'm going to read. Our text verse is going to be the 16th verse, but I want to read, and I didn't tell him this upstairs, but I want to read a couple more verses. I want to read verse 1 through 6. And then I'm going to pick up reading in verse 15 and read verse 15 and verse number 16. This is just something that's been on my heart for several weeks. I've kind of talked about it. I mentioned it a couple of times. Every now and then I'll testify about it. But I want to talk a little bit today about not being ashamed. I'm not ashamed to be a Christian. Amen. You know, I'm thankful for the blessings of God. Now, I don't know if you've stopped and thought about the blessings of God. Now, I mentioned, you know, a few times, and I'll mention it again this morning. There may be people here that came from other countries, or you were born in a different place. I was fortunate enough to be born in Georgia, in the United States of America. Now, obviously, the South is called the Bible Belt, and you know, I'm fortunate. I didn't pick that. And I mentioned this also, you know, I was born a male. God made a male and female. Okay, that's all he made. And I was made a male, and I was born a male, and I was born a Holcomb to Doris and Joseph Curtis Holcomb III. I'm the fourth. If there was to be a fifth, it'd be Luke, because he's... He just, you know, the way it's supposed to work is your firstborn is supposed to be the one that gets the inheritance of the name, and it's supposed to be a boy. Well, our first was a girl. Our second boy, he's strong like his mom in a lot of ways. Let's just say that in a complimentary way, and that's great. And Luke, here's why Luke would be the fifth. Luke is a little old man. He's like me. I was born an old man, and I'll die an old man. That's okay. Not ashamed. Not ashamed, by the way. But I'm not ashamed. And I'm, you know, sometimes people, they begin to get, you can get proud. Be careful about that. Bible talks about the things that God hates, and, you know, we want to categorize sin. You ought to read the Bible and see what the first thing that the Bible says God hates is. In the book of Proverbs, it's pride. But I'm not ashamed to be a Christian. I'm not ashamed of my heritage, and I'm not ashamed to be a white male, because I didn't choose that. My responsibility is to be what I'm supposed to be before God. That's your responsibility. That's every person's responsibility, but I want to take it farther, and I'm going to read in just a minute. I'm not ashamed not to be a Christian, but I want to go farther. I'm not ashamed to be a fundamental Bible-believing Christian. You know that there are people in churches all over the place today that are not going to hear anything directly from the Word of God. That's right. They're not going to hear Jesus Christ preached as the one for all Savior for the whole world. They won't hear anything about sin. And they're going to hear things in some ways that are going to be condemning, because the words that they speak, when those preachers stand before God, they're going to give an account. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I'm not ashamed to say I am a born-again, Bible-believing, fundamentalist Christian. What does that mean? That means I believe what the Bible says. And I remind people sometimes I didn't write the Bible, but if I believe what the Bible says, here's why people don't want to believe the Bible the way it's written. Because if the Bible is true, then it's true what it says about you. That's why people don't want it. Now, I want to go over to the book of Romans, and I want to read in the first verse. I just want to read this to give you some context. Then we're going to go down and pick up in the 16th verse. Now, I'm not going to read beyond the 16th verse, because if you take the 17th verse on down and the rest of this chapter, you realize the condemnation that's pronounced on a world that turns its back on God and what the Bible says is going to happen to them. Now, what it says in the first verse, Paul says, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. That's what the Bible foretold would happen. The Old Testament pointed pointing us toward the new. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. All that scripture, you go back, look in the Old Testament, it's all prophesied, it's all there. And glad to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Jesus rose from the dead. Paul's writing about it after the fact, telling the people, hey, it was told, the prophets wrote about it, exactly what God said was going to happen. It happened. Now, when he's writing this, here's what I want you to understand. There was a time in Paul's life that he was a persecutor of the church. He was a terrorist of the worst sort. But he's given up everything, and as he's given it up, you know, he had people, no doubt, that come against him, that made comment about him. But he's going on, he's going to tell them, there's a reason why I made a change. There's a reason why I'm doing the things that I'm doing, and I'm not ashamed of it. Amen. He said, by whom, in the fifth verse, we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among the nations for his name, among whom ye are also the called of Jesus Christ. That means called to belong to. You know, the Bible teaches us, if you're saved by the grace of God, you are bought with a price. I heard a preacher say one time, you are not your own. You know, he called us out of the world when he saved us, but he also called us to follow him. Doesn't the scripture say in one place, you are created in Christ Jesus unto good works? Now, folks, your works don't save you.
That's right.
But if you get saved by the grace of God, your works ought to be different. That's what the Bible teaches. Now, let's go down to the 15th verse. So as much then as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Now, the word gospel, it means good news. And then Paul says in the 16th verse, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Now, if you go down to Romans 9 and 33, there's a verse here that is referenced in the Old Testament, remember, which points to the new, which is Isaiah 28, 16. It says this, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense. And whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Now, I want to stop there and give you just a thought for just a minute. You know, when I stand before God, if I have been saved by the grace of God and I've accepted Jesus and I believe in Jesus, I'll stand before the Lord unashamed in that respect. And here's the greatest thing that a person could strive for is when you stand before God and he looks at you and he says, enter in, good and faithful servant, into the joys of the Lord. Now, sometimes people in the world today, because there's so much pressure and it comes from everywhere, especially in culture today, is they want you to be a silent Christian. They want you to be a person that doesn't express your views, that doesn't share the gospel. But I want to tell you something, folks. With all this inclusion and diversity stuff going on today, it just makes me want to say, hey, remember me, I'm a Christian. Put me on the list. My opinion matters too. Let's celebrate Easter. I told them at work a couple of weeks ago, I said, y'all are having all these celebrations. Why don't we just have an Easter message? I'll be glad to preach to everybody. I'm not ashamed that I'm saved. I'm not ashamed that I'm a Christian. And I like something that Brother Lamar Clark said when we were having Bible school and he taught it. He said, folks, I want to tell you something. He said, I've got the greatest thing that the world could ever hope to be exposed to. I'm saved by the grace of God, and eternity is waiting on me, and I'll spend forever in heaven with God. What could be better than that? You know, Jesus is a rock of offense to the world. But to those who believe, I want you to understand something. You know, we sometimes will be persecuted, and I understand it, folks. You know, my wife and I sometimes talk about what we went through when we went to high school a couple of years ago. One of the teachers that I had, she had. And I remember the guy. You know, you ever run into anybody, oh, they say, oh, I'm a Christian. Why are they making so much fun of you? If they're saved by the grace of God, why can't you have and feel a kindred spirit with them? Why is it when you talk about the things of God, it makes them uncomfortable? I want to tell you something. If you're uncomfortable around the Holy Spirit of God, you may not have it.
Amen.
In fact, you probably don't have it. And that's just what the Bible teaches. See, Jesus is a rock of offense. And those who believe in Jesus may be persecuted, but we should not be ashamed. Remember a couple of presidents ago, we had a president that came on and he made this statement on television. He said this. He said, we got all these people. And you know who he was talking about? He's talking about you and me. He said, they're still clinging to their God, their guns, and their Bible.
Amen.
And he ran on change. It wasn't long after that, the bumper stickers came out and it said, I'm going to keep my God, I'm going to keep my guns, and I'm going to keep my Bible, and you can keep the change. I want to tell you something, folks. I'm still in that camp.
Yes.
Now, here's something. We're going to get in the Bible in just a minute, but I want you to understand something. People died for you to have the freedoms that you have.
Amen.
Young men by the thousands,
yes.
When they stormed the beaches of Normandy over there to run those tyrants out, they died so that you can have the freedoms that you have. Don't believe the garbage, don't believe the lies, and don't give up your freedoms. Because you think it's going to make you safer. That's not true. I'm not ashamed to be old-fashioned. Now, let's stop there for just a minute. Now, there's some things that I'm not ashamed of, but I want to tell you there's some things that I am ashamed of. There's some things that we ought to be ashamed of. Do y'all know that? Y'all remember what it was like 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago when I was growing up? There were some things when a person made a mistake, yes, we ought to love them. There's people that are out there in trouble, and right now we're being ridiculed and saying we're intolerant because of the way that we believe of what our responsibility is to love people enough to tell them the truth and try to get them to an altar where God can help them. Because not everything in the world today is right. And there's some things we ought to be ashamed of. I want to tell you, there's some things I'm ashamed of. You know, if we look at these screens, I notice they're going in and out. We got one over here that's out, one that's on. Sometimes that happens. Can you imagine if this one that's off over here, all of a sudden would pop up the things of your life that you're ashamed of? You say, well, I've been in church all my life. I've been saved since I was six. There'd still be something on the screen. There'd be something right there that you say, I wish that hadn't happened in my life. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I can tell you there's things that I wish I hadn't said. I'm trying to learn every now and then. My mouth will fly open, and I look at my wife's face, and I say, I still haven't figured it all out.
Amen.
I want God to guide me, but there's some things in my life that I'm ashamed of. But I'm thankful for God's grace. You know, but there's some things that I'm not ashamed of, folks. I'm not ashamed to be a Christian.
Amen.
I'm not ashamed to be a peculiar person. I'm not ashamed to be the person that's not invited to every get-together.
Amen.
You know, down there where I work, they know what my feelings are about things. And there's times they all get together and they go out. Well, they don't even invite me. Can I tell you, it would offend me if they did? Let's get things in proper perspective here.
Amen.
You know, kids growing up in high school, and I can remember, they get together, they have the party here, they have the party there. I didn't even get invited to a lot of parties. I can remember going to a birthday party one time with a family member. I was about 12 years old. And at 12 years old, going to a birthday party with one of my cousins, I was exposed to things that I had never seen in my life. You ever been invited to something like that, and as a young person, you have to call your mama and say, Mama, come and get me. This ain't what it needs to be. Pick up the phone and make the call. You know, it's okay to be the peculiar person that doesn't fit in with the world, because God's called us to be a separate and a peculiar people. The Bible says to come out from among the world and be a separate people. Part of the family of God, and that's God's calling. You know, Paul mentioned it a couple of times. That's why I wanted to read that verse, those verses 1 through 6 and 15. We're called out from the world, and we should be separate from the world, and I'm not ashamed of it. I'm thankful for it. You know, I do love to be around God's people. And I love to talk to people when you talk about the things of God, the Word of God, the Bible, God's goodness, that all of a sudden they get engaged, there's a kindred spirit, and you just feel like you're with family. But if you ever been around somebody that said they were saved, they say they're a Christian, you start talking about the things of God, and you start seeing them squirm in their skin. Something's not right. You see, I'm not ashamed to be a Christian, but can I say this also? I'm not ashamed to be a Baptist. Y'all know there's a movement today among churches that when churches are building, you know, they're building over here and they're building over here and they're building over there, and they've gotten rid of the names on the churches, the denominations. And they just call it the church at the river. Or the church down by the way, or the church at the big oak. I want to tell you something, folks, we're Baptists. And you can go back and you can study it. Brother Tom Payne did a great job several years ago presenting. There's a reason we're Baptists. No, Peter was not the first pope. Peter was not the first Baptist. But if you go back to the time of Christ, you'll see the same teaching that we have today. There was a group called the Anabaptists that go all the way back. You know, I'm not ashamed of that. I heard a preacher say one time, he was kind of talking to some folks, he said, you know, our church, he said, you know, we came out of, and he gave the name of the Baptist church, and he said, you know, we're kind of Baptist, but, you know, we don't put it on the sign because sometimes it turns people away. What if we put on the sign, hey, you know, we have church, but we don't really follow the Bible. We have church, but we don't really follow the things of God. I want to tell you something, folks, we're not ashamed of what we are and who we are. Denomination will not save you. Don't misunderstand me. But you will not be ashamed before God if you go in as a born-again Baptist. You're not going to have to apologize because the doctrine is true. You know, when I think about the blessings in my life, and that's one of them, I grew up around people that showed me how to love God. They demonstrated it to me. I can remember being down at Welcome Hill Baptist Church, and we had a man down there, Miss Lori Hollingsworth's uncle, Brother Harley Kimmons. He sat on the last side right here, this very end, and he sat right there, and he, folks, he loved God. We could have 25, 30 people, 8 people. It didn't make no difference. They were paying attention to the things of God. And right there where Brother Harley sat, he rubbed his feet together like this, like sandpaper. You could hear him stomping his feet and rubbing his feet. We had to replace the carpet under his seat. And I went over there sometimes and I looked at it and I thought about it. And I can remember seeing the way that they serve God, the way that they love God. And it was an example to me that I want to tell you something. I don't care what the world thinks. I don't care what the world does. I'm not ashamed to be associated with those people because they had the love of God and the power of God in them. You know how I know it's true? Because they showed me. Wouldn't do me any good as a man to come in here on Sunday morning and preach the way I preach to you and go home and live a life in front of my wife and my children that they did not respect me. I heard somebody say one time, he said, people will oftentimes, they might not even remember the lesson or the things that you preach, but they're going to remember the way that you treat them. I'm not ashamed to be associated with those people that demonstrated to me that this is true. Yeah. Now, folks, I'm not ashamed of following God. Do I get it right all the time? No, of course I don't. Do I make mistakes? Yes, I do. Do I have to pray? Yeah. What'd Paul say? The same one that wrote this, he wrote this also. He said, I die daily. You go through the Old Testament and it links the same. What did Daniel do? He opened his windows and he prayed facing Jerusalem 3 times a day. Folks, I want to tell you, here's what following God is. It's following God in the deeds that you do in life, and it's following God in prayer. You know, we ask for prayer requests. Why? Because we believe that God hears and answers prayer. Amen. Do you know people mock that? We're living in a time today, if they thought they could get away with it, and they tried it a couple of years ago, they came out and they were actually making an ad against a certain politician, and they say, how in the world can people go out and vote for somebody that believes there's a God in heaven that hears prayer? Backlash. How can you expect to lead anybody if you don't get on your knees before God and say, God, help me. Oh, wretched man that I am. I need God. I believe in prayer. I believe he hears my prayer, and I believe he hears me. And yes, I do have a personal relationship with him. Now, what about this? I'm not ashamed to say that I believe the Bible. I believe the Bible is God's word. I believe that holy men of old spoke, just like the Bible says, as they were moved on by the Holy Spirit. And as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, they penned the word, just like the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, written by Moses. You say, well, how could Moses write that? Moses wasn't there. I want to tell you how. The Bible says that he was moved on by the Holy Spirit as it moved upon him. I believe what the prophets wrote. I believe what the apostles wrote. I believe what Paul wrote as he wrote two-thirds of the New Testament after God had saved him and changed him from being a persecutor of the church to being somebody that stood before Rome and said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Yes. And here's something else I believe. Well, how did it get all together in this book? Men of God joined together to study what is called the canon of Scripture. They prayed over it, they labored over it, until they got the books that they believed that God had anointed. Do you know that there are other books that are written that are not necessarily believed to be part of the Holy Scriptures, although they're written in their great history? I've got some of them at home. One is called the Book of Enoch. It's in the Library of Congress. It's one of the oldest books existing. I've got a copy of it at home. You know, there is actually a fifth gospel, the Gospel of James, but it's not necessarily believed to be part of the original Scripture. Now, I want to tell you something about this book, and I want to move. There's 66 books in this Bible. You look at the number in the Old Testament, the number in the New Testament, and you study biblical numerology, you find that everything that God did, he did it in order. And every bit of God's order, it lines up exactly the way that God wants it to. The very center verse of the King James Bible, if you count verses, is in the book of Psalms. It talks about God, and it's the sixth number. It talks about man. Man's the sixth number, excuse me, and it talks about God. And if you look at those numbers and you look at how it lines up and you talk about how it's purified seven times in a furnace, you know that the King James Bible had seven editions to it. Now, folks, I'm getting off into broccoli here, but I'm telling you something important I want you to understand. I believe the Bible is God's word. I believed it because the men that I saw and the way that they lived, but when I got older and I began to study it, this is alive. The Bible talks about it's, it was pinned down as men of God were moved on by the Holy Spirit. But the Bible says that it is quick. That means it's alive. It's powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It pierces even to the dividing of sunder of the soul and the spirit and of the joints and the marrow. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. This book is alive.
Yes.
It's God's word.
Amen.
I believe we were created by God. You know, I read just a minute ago one of the lines from the Declaration of Independence. It says that we were endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights. What people like to do is they like to search when they're trying to be ridiculers, and they search the entire scope of all those that signed the Declaration of Independence, and they say, you know, oh, this person did this, and this person did that. Y'all know that Moses killed a guy and buried him in the sand, right? Y'all know that. Y'all know that Abraham lied about his wife, Sarai, and he said, this is my sister. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, I said, does God use people and do the things that he does because of people or in spite of people? If you think it's because of people, you'll be lifted up with pride. God does what he does in spite of people. That's why it says that yet if we believe not, he still remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. These people believed. Just have to accept that they weren't any more perfect than you and I. Then we'll understand. See, I believe that we were created by God. We did not evolve from nothing that turned into something. And I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that Jesus Christ is the only way we're going to get to heaven. If we get to heaven, we're going to get through him, or we're not going to get there. That's not popular in the world today. What we want to do is just include everybody and everything. I'm okay, you're okay. No, that's not the way that it is. It's not popular, but that's what the Bible says. You know, I believe that Jesus Christ is the only way. And then I say this, and a lot of people that even go to church, there are preachers, there's Bible colleges that won't even believe this. I believe in the virgin birth. Why? Because if God can create man from the dust of the earth, he can reach down just through the movement of a spirit and plant a seed in a woman's womb. So that David, being the lineage through which Jesus was to come, comes right down to Joseph. Then if you look at the priestly line, it comes right to Mary. And if you understand that he was the darling, true Son of God, then she was born of a virgin birth because that was God's plan prophesied in the Old Testament. I believe that. I also believe that Jesus lived a sinless life so that he could stand before God and be the perfect advocate for you and I. You know, sometimes when we think about people and people that we love, it's kind of like this. I preach about sin, and somebody immediately thinks about their granny. They think, oh, my granny. You ever heard anybody say, my granny was a saint? It's like this. What Brother Tommy over here, he said, my wife.
Absolutely.
Sometimes I think Miss Marlene is a saint. But can I tell you, the best person you know, the most godly person that you know needs Jesus.
Amen.
Because if any person was able to stand before God on their own merit, just one, Jesus would not have had to come.
Exactly.
But I believe that Jesus came and he did the will of the Father. He did the will when the Bible says in the beginning, God said, let us make man. I believe God had a plan from the very beginning, and Jesus came, fulfilled the mission so that he could stand before the God just like this, so that we could have a great high priest which could be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but he was without sin. I believe that. And then I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins, and he's my Savior. I also am able to say this. I'm not ashamed to say this. I believe he rose from the grave. I believe the tomb was empty when they came to find him early in the morning. They got there and they looked in. And the angel, they said, where's he at? Well, he's not here. He's risen, just like he said. I believe that. And the world looks at us and they say, oh, we can't believe that. Read this. You came from a monkey. Really? I remember a few years ago, we were up in Pigeon Forge at Dollywood. I like to sit in Dollywood and watch people come by.
Yeah.
Over there where those rocking chairs are.
Yeah.
And they come through there and I think, I know a lot of these people. I don't know their name, but I know a lot of these people. It's like going to church up into Singing on the Mountain, you know, and you think you're with your kinfolk and you don't even know anybody's name. But I went into that little church and I walked over there where they had the prayer request, and I read a couple of the pages, and there were a couple of them, and you could tell they were written by kids or young people, and it said, pray for the earth.
Yeah.
for we're destroying it. And immediately the scripture began to come to my mind over there in the book of Peter where it said the elements are going to melt with a fervent heat. I want to tell you something, folks. God's got something better than this prepared for you and I as the children of God. I'm not one bit worried about global warming. I just want the air conditioning to keep working. Well, I believe what the Bible says. I believe God's got a better place. I believe what he said. I love the 14th chapter of John where he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'm going to come again to receive you unto myself there where I am. There you may be also. Can I say this also? I'm not ashamed to say that I believe in the Holy Spirit. Folks, I want to tell you something at Hiram First Baptist Church, and I mean this. I want this church to be led by the Spirit of God. When I stand up to preach, God, please move. I can't do nothing by myself. Don't you, as a sinful for the Spirit of God, and say, it was free this morning. I was able to sing, I'm thankful for the Spirit of God. Sometimes I tell people this too. Don't forget this. I'm not ashamed to say that I believe Jesus is coming back. Amen. Sometimes people get so worried about what's going on in the world and they just stressing out. I heard recently a church out in the Midwest, they had this big market going in their church. They were trying to figure out how they were all going to live if everything fell apart. This one's growing and this one's doing this and this one's doing that, and they're looking at going back to the barter system. I said, their preacher needs to preach to them that Jesus is coming. He's coming back. I believe he's coming back. Yes, yes. Psalms 119 verse 6 says this. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. Why? I'm going to go through this quickly. Why? Because he is. Because the historical evidence for Jesus, his existence, who he is overwhelming. Folks, I want to tell you the greatest book you can ever read is the Bible. Amen. I have spent tons of money at the Christian bookstores to read the first and the last chapter, and that's all I can stand. I want the Holy Spirit to speak to me. Yes. But if you want to study the historical evidence for Christ and you want to read after somebody, his name is Josephus, you can read it. He talks about him. You want to go get the book of Enoch, which is not in the scripture, and read it. It talks about Noah. Said he had curly red hair, and I read it, and I just begin to imagine it. Then you can read the Gospel of James, and you can look at all the historical evidence. You know, people don't talk about the historical evidence for people like Plato and Socrates, whether or not they existed, and they're nothing compared to the evidence for Christ. Doesn't you know the Bible says in one place it talks about, it says something about that if these should hold their peace, the rocks would cry out. I read a book one time by a man, and he said, he talked about archaeological discoveries. He said every time an archaeologist overturns a stone in the Middle East, it proves the Bible is true. Amen. Do you know in all the years, 2023 AD, is Anno Domini. That means the year of our Lord. That's since the time of Christ. Do you know that not one archaeological discovery has ever proven the Bible to be false?
That's right.
Never.
That's right.
The historical evidence for the existence and the person of Christ is overwhelming. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed because I believe he is the great I am.
Yes.
I'm not ashamed because I believe he is the creator. I'm not ashamed because he is Lord and he is my Lord.
Yes.
That means I bow to him and I surrender to him. Doesn't the Bible teach us that every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father? Now here's what we can do. We can do it now and look forward to his coming, or we can do it when he returns and be ashamed because we don't know him. But I can assure you, every knee is going to bow. I'm not ashamed because he's my redeemer. Amen. Folks, I got saved when I was 12. Worst thing I think I had done is beat my sister up multiple times. But when a preacher preached, Earl Partain preached down at Welcome Hill Baptist Church, and the Holy Spirit that I was talking about said he's talking to you. And I was sitting right here where Miss Becky sits. That was my place. I grew up in that church. I used to take pens and bubble gum and make little cars and stick them together until I finally set up and I started listening. And at 12, I was too big to make little cars. People looked at me funny. All of a sudden, the Spirit spoke to me, and it was just like this. It was the first time that I had heard the voice. You know, if God ever speaks to you, you're going to know who it is. Amen. And the Holy Spirit of God said, he's talking to you. You could have hit me with a glass of cold water. I knew that voice, and I went and got saved. You see, he is my redeemer. He's my savior. He's my comforter. He helps me when I'm weak. He's the one that forgives me. Y'all know that forgiveness is a big deal? He forgives me when I'm wrong. And all my stuff that I don't want to be on the screen, he puts it under the blood. Folks, that's a big deal for me. So I'm not ashamed of him. In a world today, we ought not be ashamed of our faith. We ought to stand up and be thankful for what God's done for us. Now, I want to ask you something. Do you believe in Jesus? Are you ashamed of him? I guess the question then is, what do you believe? What are we going to believe? You know, apostasy is a falling away from the truth. And I believe the devil is working overtime to keep people from coming to God, from being what God wants them to be, receiving the fullness of life that God wants you to have. You know that fullness of life is being in the place that God wants you to be. It's being the person God wants you to be, living the way that God wants you to live, because what God wants you to have is fullness. And here's what the devil has. Everything, and I mean everything, that the devil offers is a counterfeit for something that God has that's better for you that the devil don't want you to have. So the question is, do you believe? What will you believe? I'm going to read these verses, and then we're going to have a song. Romans chapter 10, verse number 8. Says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Then the 11th verse says, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Amen. You know, sometimes I guess being in church my whole life, and I have to be careful of this, we take for granted that everybody understands and everybody sees. Maybe they don't. Maybe there's somebody here this morning you need to pray and you just don't fully understand. But I want you to understand something. The people around you care about you. They love you. Amen. Nothing we'd rather do as we come to this point in the service. Right now, what we're about to do is the most important thing we've done since we've been here. Amen. It's more important than the singing. It's more important than the preaching. It's when we get to the point that we open, the course of altars here are always open, but we give a public invitation for you to come and talk to God. I'm not ashamed to say that I bowed and asked him to save me. But I want to tell you something else, and we're going to ask her to sing. I can remember as God began to work in my life, because I was saved at 12, but I didn't surrender until a little bit later. I was in the 9th grade when God spoke to me, and basically that same voice, I knew who it was. He let me know that I was going to be preaching one day. Here's what I heard. It's just like somebody was standing beside me.
but it was in here.
Yes.
He said, I'm going to have something for you to do one day. That's what I heard. But here's what happened. I knew what it was. He was calling me just like he did Paul. He was calling me out. And as I went on from there in my life and I was going through my teenage years, I just never fit here. I never fit there because something was different in me. You know, I remember during those times in my life, I went to revivals all the time and I'd go down to the altar. I could remember sometimes even going down and I'd hear them over here. They'd say, I wonder what's wrong with him. Folks, we're not like that here. You know what I did is I just kept coming and I kept coming and I told the Lord I'm going to keep coming, God,
yes,
till I get to the point you want me to be at.
There you go.
And I remember what happened to me when I surrendered. I went down to Zion Hill Baptist Church, also called Black Hawk Hills, down in Mableton. I went into the Sunday school room, middle of the day on a Sunday by myself. And I was so stressed, I laid down prostrate straight on the carpet. And I surrendered to God. I said, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll have only the people in my life, God, that you want me to have. Because that was a struggle too. I didn't make no money. I think I made $7 an hour and was driving 80 miles to work. You say, well, how can you do that? Well, you know, gas was cheaper. I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't know where I was going to live. I didn't have nothing. I said, God, if you want me to live in a tent by the creek, I just want to live with peace in my heart, knowing that I'm in the right place with you because I want to be in fellowship with you, God. And I was saved, but then I surrendered. Maybe you're here this morning. You just need to talk to God. Take somebody by the hand that loves you and take advantage of what God has given us in America today. In a church like this where we can serve the Lord. Would you please rise to your feet as Alicia sings this song.
After all.